Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
We're so blessed to have Jackie here today. I know she has a word for you, for me, for us. And so we just want to, would you just come and she's ministered here once before, been almost every one of the conferences we do. Would you stand back to your feet for a minute? We have something we do from time to time. We don't always do this, but especially when someone hadn't ministered for a while. You know, he gave gifts unto the church. And he gave those gifts. We could talk about apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers for the perfecting or aligning or maturing of the saints for the works of the ministry. How many of you are ready to do the works of the ministry? Amen? And he has sent a gift here to us today. Now, if I bless Michael here with my Harley, which is not going to happen, but if I bless him with my Harley, the Harley's the gift. Amen? But the manifestation is, you know, he can ride it. He can do a paper route. He carries Sarah riding on the back. Don't do that. That's dangerous. Anyway. But anyway, he could do all that. And so she's a gift. Let's put a demand on this, all right? Father, we just put a demand upon the gift of God and Jackie Tyre. And we declare that this gift has been sent here this day so that we can be further equipped, matured, but most of all, aligned. And so, Father, we just declare that we put a demand upon the authority, the grace, and the gifting within Jackie. And we declare today we will be equipped to do the works of the ministry in greater fashion. And, Father, we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What a privilege to be back in this house. I feel like this is home away from home. And there are times that I just need to get here because I receive just in being here with you. God is allowing us to do a City Gate Atlanta. Most of you know that. The funny part of that story is that as I started City Gate, the Lord had put something in my heart to start an apostolic center with a congregation in Atlanta. And in a dream, the month before I met Clay and Susan, the Lord said, call it City Gate Atlanta. I had met them, but didn't know them. And I had no idea what the name of their ministry was. And so then when we started connecting, I went, oh, so that's what you're doing, God. You have to learn how to recognize those places when he speaks to you and you don't know what he's saying. And then all of a sudden the aha moment comes. So City Gate Atlanta, we're moving on. Some of you were here in December and heard our story about our 2014 challenges in the Valley of Rephaim. I ask you to pray for us. We're still praying through and looking, doing our due diligence to find a new home. We need a building. We're blessed to be using another congregation's facility on Sunday nights and when we need it for classes or conferences or whatever. But how many of you have ever lived in somebody else's house for a while? You're grateful. It's a blessing. It's a gift. But there comes a moment in time when it's, I need my own house so my stuff can come out of storage and I can do what we need to do without having to go and ask. That's the tension I feel in my own spirit is I'm ready to move out of the borrowed house. I'm ready to get on about what God's telling us to do and pressing in to find that place where we can embrace that grace that unlocks it. And I know I received a key this weekend. As Chuck Pierce said a phrase, he said when he was talking about the flag being lifted up over Arkansas, and that when it had been up for a year, you would have won a victory in the spirit realm. You've already won one to get it there, but you will win another measure of victory when that thing has been there for a year because it takes a year to establish a victory. And I went, aha, because our battle started on Good Friday, 2014. And I said, Good Friday's coming. Good Friday's coming. So, and our victory was given to us on Pentecost Sunday. And so Pentecost is coming. So we're at a year. How many of you have got something that you've been battling over? You've had a measure of a victory. I want you to lay hold of that. Are you getting what I'm saying? That you've had a measure of the victory, but there's something else you need to have manifested in your life. Lay hold of that. I think there's life on it. But here's what I've come with in my passionate heart today, and it comes out of what the Lord's been speaking to me. A lot of times when the Lord has me go somewhere and minister, he starts messing with me first. Does anybody else, does he do that with you? He messes with you first. Well, the question has been, so what are you doing with the grace I've given you? What are you doing with the grace I've given you? City Gate in South Haven, what are you doing with the grace God has given you? Now, I'm going to back up a little bit to unpack that because I think we have a misconstrued understanding of grace. We look at grace and we go, well, by grace I've been saved. Well, that is true. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because none of us would be here if that wasn't the truth, right? But that is just getting your toes in the water. We've got some misconstrued understandings about grace in the broader church of America and around the world right now. That, well, you've got grace, therefore you can go do whatever you want to do, and grace is going to cover it. Let me tell you something. The grace that I've encountered with the Lord doesn't give me permission to keep on sinning. It gives me the power to not sin anymore. And so we've been trying to listen and go through all this grace message that's out in the world. And so when the Lord started talking to me about grace, I'm like, Lord, you've got me coming up against something that's in the culture right now, in the church culture, not the world culture, that is running across this nation like a freight train. And it's putting people on a pathway of destruction because they're believing a lie instead of embracing the truth of what grace truly is. And I love to be a wooden spoon that stirs up a pot. When I was in a church years ago, the pastor used to say, you know what, you're nothing but a lightning rod. Well, I take that as a compliment. At the time, I didn't know what that was because it wasn't necessarily given as a compliment, if you get my drift. But I take that as a compliment because I want the lightning of God to strike and shake us up in such a manner that we don't stay the way we were when we got up this morning. Because if we stay the way we were when we woke up this morning, we're not embracing the grace for this moment. And there's more that God wants to do with us than for us to just go around and go, well, I'm saved by grace. Now, don't hear me wrong on that. I am grateful that I'm saved by grace. But I am passionate to live out that grace in a way that the people around me are impacted by that grace. Because grace changes us. Grace should be changing the atmosphere around us. Grace should be changing the lives around us. Grace should be releasing the power of God so that these little boys and little girls with cancer are being healed. Our real estate agent, for us finding a building, I found out 2 weeks ago, his 3-year-old son was diagnosed after months of not being able to diagnose what was wrong with a rare form of cancer called neuroblastoma. Now, let me tell you something. I'm bombarding heaven and making declarations over little Berkey that he will live and not die and proclaim the praises of the Lord. Because if his dad happens to be our real estate agent, it gives us entrance to invade with grace. It's given us a delay on our looking for a building, but if we're delayed on a building to see the salvation of a little boy and the healing of his life, so be it. Because a building's temporary, his life is not. So we've got to learn how to embrace it. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." What is the measure of Christ's gift? Think about that for a minute. Have you stopped to think the immeasurable measure of Christ's gift? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved that he gave. How do you measure what God gave? How do you measure what he's already given into your life? When you think about where you could be today, anybody else have those moments? When you think about where you could be today, if even alive, where you could be today, it says according to the measure of Christ's gift, but when you start thinking about the measure of his gift, how do we measure his gift? The very measure of his gift is immeasurable. He saved you. How many of you have experienced healing in your body? See, I have a testimony very similar to Apostle Clay's. I was diagnosed with viral encephalitis as a 9-month-old. The doctors went home, said she won't make it through the night. If she does, she'll be a vegetable. Now, some people think I'm a little nutty, but I'm not a vegetable, okay? So my parents sat in the waiting room and simply said, "Lord, you didn't give her to us to be a vegetable. Either take her home with you or heal her." And about 6 o'clock the next morning, my mother heard a voice behind her say, "God, tell them to go check on her. She's fine." And I was supernaturally healed. She told me that story when I was 18, on my 18th birthday, sitting across the table over breakfast. And she said, "I need to tell you this story." My question to her was I under an oxygen tent with a pink blanket, and did they shave half my head? And she said, "How do you know that? There are no pictures." I'm like, "I don't know how I know it. I just have had this picture in my head all of my life." See, God's grace blew in to St. Louis Children's Hospital over a 9-month-old baby and said, I didn't create you in your mother's womb to die. I created you to live for me. And it marked me. I didn't understand it. Did I start walking it right away? No. But I'll tell you, when she told me that story of grace, it made my life make sense. Because I never fit the norm. I mean, if you know me very well, you know that's the case. I just didn't fit the norm. I didn't look at life regular. But I didn't know why. But grace had blown in and marked me. Grace has blown in and marked you. Grace has blown in over Peter. See, grace is already messing with Peter in ICU, in the NICU unit, okay? Grace is already hovering over that incubator. Grace is already hovering and marking that little boy for greatness. Now, see, greatness isn't big name stuff. Greatness is simply walking in the purposes and the grace of God. See, every single one of you are marked for greatness. You're marked to be a demonstration of His grace in the earth. You are marked to proclaim and manifest His grace and glory everywhere you go. See, you're marked with grace to come out of the bondages of your past. God has given you grace to shift out of the things that so easily ensnare you. How many of you got sin that easily ensnares you? You don't have to raise your hand. But the reality is we've got things, we've got patterns in our life, we've got generational curses, we've got those habits. Sometimes we call habits demons. Let me tell you, sometimes it's just a habit of your flesh that you need to crucify. Quit blaming the devil for something. You just need to rise up and put your feet on the pavement and go get a job. I may have just messed with somebody there, but that's just real. Sometimes you need to just say, you know what? I'm going to put my feet on the ground and I'm going to choose to forgive those people that offended me. Last week, last year, all the way back to however old you are, and go through it and say, I just choose and I'm not going to let that stuff mess with me anymore, because there's grace. Embrace the grace to move on. If you need some healing and you need somebody to help you walk through that process, come grab a Vicki Billman. Or grab somebody and say, you know what? I'm tired of living in this mess and I'm ready to embrace the grace. Because I will tell you this prophetically, in this hour, it is time for us to grow up. It is time to grow up. God is looking for a people who say, I will embrace the grace to grow into the maturity that you've called me to, so that I might do the things that I say I want to do. Because here's what I see in a lot of the body of Christ. I see a lot of people saying, I want to do signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to lay hands on the sick. I want to walk in supernatural power. I want to release the word of God that is in me. I want to run a $1 million business. Okay? I want to have a big fat checkbook. Am I messing with anybody yet? I hope so. But see, we're not being able to enter into that because we've not allowed the Spirit of God, the grace of God, the Word of God to bring us into a maturity so God says, I can trust you with it. You've not exercised the grace you have right now in a way that qualifies you to receive the next measure of grace God has for you. See, you don't earn grace, but I do believe we get qualified for more grace. See, we just want God to do it all. His grace is marvelous. It is unmerited favor. His grace is free, but it's not cheap. His grace is the grace that brings us into salvation, but His grace is also the everything that we have. Everything that we have, everything that we do, every breath we take is by His grace. See, it is the air we breathe. See, sometimes we so get caught in this, it's all about me, that we forget, if I woke up this morning, it's God's grace. If I'm healthy today, it's God's grace. Can I mess with you a little bit? If I'm sick today, there's God's grace to go through the day. And press on through. If somebody got ugly with me today, let me just tell you, it happens, okay? There is grace to embrace, to walk through that ugly season and not become bitter. There's grace in that season to respond in an opposite spirit. There's grace in that season to walk through and demonstrate love instead of acting the way we were acted towards. And when we stumble, because reality is we stumble, we mess up, there's grace to get back up. See, one of the things in my journey that I've had to learn how to do is how to get back up and go again. And if you walk in this world very long seeking to follow Christ, you're going to either stumble or get knocked over, pushed down, tripped up, cursed, reviled, persecuted, slandered, betrayed, forsaken, abandoned. We may not be like Paul and be shipwrecked, but I'll tell you, there are days it feels like it. Isn't that right, Susan? There are times it feels like we've been beaten, and we may not have had a cat of nine tails against our back, but in our soul, it feels like you're beaten. And in American Christianity, we've often thought, well, if I'm walking with Jesus, I'm not going to get that. Well, let me ask you this question. If Jesus got it, and Paul got it, and Peter got it, and James got it, and John got it, and, you know, keep making the list. If they got that, who do we think we are? I mean, really? Jesus said, if they reject me, they're going to reject you. But when we get rejected by them, you know what? There's a greater measure of grace. See, we got to learn how to embrace the grace in the moment. And part of that means we got to learn how to zip this. We got to learn how to zip our lips. Because we often find ourselves in a place of agreeing with the enemy instead of embracing the grace God has for us. See, God says there's more available to us than we realize. See, there's more grace available to walk through the difficulties of life. This is not denying. See, some of times in some of our teaching in the past, we've had this, we'll just confess it's all good and deny that it's anything bad's happening. Now, I don't believe the people that originally taught confess were teaching the way it got perverted in the rest of us. Because, you know, once somebody says something here, by the time it goes down the line, it usually gets twisted a little bit. Kind of like the old gossip game, remember? But see, we've gone from this place of embracing the grace to walk through the difficulty and face it honestly and face it with integrity. We went into denial. And when denial gets a hold of you, you then are separated from the grace and you've moved out of truth and into deception. See, I don't want us walking in deception. If you're going through a hard time, you're going through a hard time. And the sooner you go, God, I am in a tight place. I feel like I'm getting squeezed on the left or right, before me, behind me, above me, below me, and I feel like there's no room for me to even move. Anybody else ever been there? But God, I know that in this tight place, there's grace and there's something you want to work in me so that you might work something through me. So when you get into the tight place, be honest and say, God, where's my grace? Show me how to get there. What is it about my response to this that I'm negating the grace rather than embracing and releasing grace? Because we can negate grace and its operation in our life by the way we respond to the circumstances that we're walking through. I think I need to say that again. We can negate the grace that is available to us by the way we respond to the circumstances that we find ourselves in. See, I don't ever want to negate the grace because Christ paid too great a price for it. We had a prophetic word over Citygate about a year and a half ago. And the word was, in essence, you're going to come through a very, very narrow place. And to get through the narrow place, you're going to have to offload everything from the past season that doesn't need to go into the new. Now, let me tell you, that place got really tight. And we thought we had offloaded, and then it got tighter. And we'd think we had offloaded, and it got tighter. Until you didn't feel like you could move, but God said, press through. And all of a sudden, it was... Because if you'll embrace the grace, he'll take you through and he will oil you down with the oil of his Holy Spirit. So that last little place when you're going, I can't get through that. It's way too narrow. There's nothing left. I have nothing. I have nothing else I can go. I'm stripped down to nothing. And he says, receive my anointing and I'll take you through. And we entered into a place the beginning of January when... we come together. I don't even know what to do with our Sunday night services. I walk in and go, okay, God, what are we doing? He goes, go with me. I'll have notes and kind of like today, they're there and they're really good. But see, it's not about following that. In fact, I heard the Lord say, you prepare this preparations for you so that I might flow through you the way I want to. Because see, it's not about us doing our thing. It's about us moving into what he's doing and trusting him enough that we embrace the grace for the moment to move with it. I will say this one thing about our Sunday night services and a little bit of a challenge for your fabulous worship team. I love these guys. Absolutely love them. But I'll tell you how bad he's messing with us right now. We'll have two or three songs on our song chart that we're going to do for the night. We may get a half of a verse out before it goes completely prophetic. I mean completely. And then we get to the end of it and go, whoa. And it's like, why are we even bothering putting the words in Pro Presenter? I mean, you know, but it's okay because we're doing our preparation that then puts a place and God just says, just go with me. Just go with me. Just go. Step out. Trust that place. Step out. You've got it in you. You've got it in you. Get off the page. Don't worry. They'll go with you. They'll go with you. See, that's the scariest part when you're up and you're leading. It's, will they go with me? Here's the deal, really. They'll go with you, but if they don't, it doesn't matter because it's about you doing and embracing the grace that God gave you to embrace. And I'm not saying that as a question because, like I said, I love these guys. I love this team. They're fabulous. But see, I know what I'm sensing. God is shifting us out of doing it the way we've already done it because he wants us to get out and walk on the water. Embrace the grace and walk out on the water. The first Sunday of January, I ended up in bed with the flu. And I kept pressing because I'm one of those, I'll just press through. I'm going to go do service because it's my responsibility. I'm going to go do it. Well, at about 3:30, I finally just said, I can't. There's just no way. I can't. I don't. There's nothing there. I can't get out. So I called my team up and I said, well, y'all are on tonight. What? I said, yep, it's yours. God's got it. You've got it. The grace of God is in you. Just be released and go. What happened is they all ministered. not just the leadership team, the congregation. There was an activation that happened because when I wasn't in the way, it was like, okay, what are we going to do now? And they filled the spot. They filled it. And here's what I said to them the next week. I said, now you know what I knew. Now you know that you've got the word of the Lord inside of you. Now you know you've got the prayer inside of you. Now you know that what I've been saying, come on, guys. Come on, embrace the grace. Embrace the grace. Step into what's on the inside of you. They prayed for each other. They prophesied over each other. They brought nuggets of teaching, proclamations, new songs of the Lord, not just off the worship team, out of the congregation. But see, there was an embracing of the grace. But one of the things we've got to shift into is learning how to cultivate the grace that God's given us. Now, very much again, like Apostle Clay, I grew up around agriculture. My dad was an ag engineer, worked for companies, then worked with farmers and cattle and pigs and chickens and fields of corn and the whole deal. And my grandparents were farmers. I still love to go and just walk the property because there's just something about the land that speaks to me. And I remember my grandfather up on the top field had acres of corn. But he had to cultivate that soil. He had to cultivate that field. He had to work it so that when the seeds were planted in those rows that would become the corn stalks that would bring forth the ears of corn, he had to work it. He couldn't just go out there and scatter a bunch of seed and go, well, the corn's going to come up and I'll have my harvest. If he did that, he wouldn't get very much of a harvest, would he? See, I believe God is sowing grace into us like seed. But we've got to learn how to cultivate. How do we cultivate what God's placed in you? See, when I'm thinking about grace, I'm not just talking about that momentary grace to do something. I'm talking about the grace he's given you in gifts. Because they're charisma, right? It's a grace that he's given. What are you doing to cultivate what he's given you? How are you watering those seeds of grace? How are you plucking up the weeds around the sprouts that are coming up so that they don't get snuffed out? How are you preparing the soil of your life to receive greater grace? See, I believe we have a responsibility to cultivate the soil of our life. So when God comes along in like a meeting like we were in this weekend, he begins to release those prophetic words like seeds of grace. We have to be prepared to receive those seeds and then to water, to nurture, to pray over them, to seek the Lord over them, to say, God, how do you want us to cultivate this? Because if we will cultivate what he's sowing into our life, it will reproduce in greater measure. And you'll have fruit that remains. See, I believe there was enough grace released this weekend over Arkansas that can change a nation. I know that sounds really big, but I'm really serious. I flew in because the Lord says there will be deposits made in Arkansas that will affect the course of this nation if we will embrace the grace that's released. So you're going to need to embrace that grace over Arkansas and go, well, wait a minute, why am I embracing over Arkansas? Because I'm in Mississippi. Because you got to think bigger. You got to think beyond your own. Because if you will embrace the grace over Arkansas, there'll be a release of a greater measure of grace over Mississippi. So that when the breakthrough comes in Arkansas and the ground is plowed in Arkansas and the work is done in Arkansas, all of a sudden you move over into Mississippi and it's not quite as hard. Because you've won some victory, you've won some strength, you've developed some fortitude of grace. I believe God is positioning this house to sow into Arkansas in another measure in order to reap a harvest that will impact a nation. One of the things that I'm weighing how to say what I'm hearing is this house receives so much. Every week. Have you stopped to consider how unique what you have here is? Have you stopped to consider the grace he's given to this house through this man and woman of God? Now, they had no idea I'm going here. Just so you know. But he stood up here and proclaimed a receiving of me as a gift in this house. But as a friend, I felt like the Lord said to me that I needed to say to you, receive the gift he's given you more fully. I know you've received, but I really heard God say, if you'll receive the gift I've given more fully, what I will do with you, in you, through you, and among you will astound you. Because this gift opens the gate for many gifts to come in here. That you have Dutch sheets in as often as you do is an incredible gift. That you're having Tim sheets in next week and Becca Greenwood in 2 weeks after that, and who knows what's coming down the road. I mean, the gifts that come into this house is such a deposit that I'm going to say this, and this may sound a little hard, but it is a deposit that God is saying you will be held accountable for what you're receiving. You guys do a great job of recording the prophetic words, but I'm going to challenge you, take the recorded prophetic words and work them. I'm saying the same thing at home. I'm watching because I know that there are prophetic words that are coming forth in our house week after week after week, that if we don't start embracing those expressions of grace in a new measure to prepare our hearts to move into those words will dry up. Because if you don't embrace and do what God calls you to do with what he gives you, then suddenly it's like you go to the well to draw water and there's no water. See, there's a responsibility that comes when you sit under the prophetic apostolic mantle that is in this house for a territory. Not just for the City Gate South Haven, but for this territory, that I am urging you to embrace. I'm urging you, lay hold of the grace that God is releasing here. Be cautious and guard your heart to not take what you have here for granted. And I'm not saying that you are. I'm just telling you what I heard. I'm just telling you what I heard. Because there's so much. We overuse this word, but I don't have another. So much potential locked up here with all of you. That you could literally shift the greater Memphis area. But you got to allow the grace to shift you. You got to allow the grace to grow you up. Because the earth is moaning and groaning for the mature, or the we are sons of God, to rise up. We got to shift into a place where, God, your grace is sufficient. And say that not just as a phrase, but your grace is sufficient. I'm embracing the grace and I'm running the race. See, I get challenged when I read through the book of Acts and I see how the early believers embraced the grace. See, even from Acts 1, they embraced the grace to accept the word of the Lord to go and tarry. I just got to tell you something. It takes grace to tarry. Because Jesus said we've got a promise coming, right? And most of us, when we're told we've got a promise coming or a gift coming, would you give it to me right now? Yesterday. And Jesus says, go and wait. See, there's a grace to wait. Sometimes God's going to say to you, wait. Wait and prepare a place. Prepare your heart to receive. But they embraced that grace to wait. Then they stepped into Acts 2. And they embraced the mighty rushing wind. And they embraced the fire. And they embraced the grace to loose their lips and to begin to proclaim and speak in tongues. Peter embraced the grace to stand up as a man who had denied Jesus, thought he was done, but embraced the grace in that moment that preached a message and saw 5,000 come to the Lord. There was an embracing of a grace that he didn't go, well, wait a minute, I don't know that I'm confident enough to do what he just said do. And we have a tendency, instead of embracing the grace, we go, well, Vicky could do it better, or Susan or Clay or somebody else could do it better. Peter embraced the grace and he stooped up and proclaimed the word of the Lord and birthed the church by the grace of God. After he had failed horribly. See, some of us just need to embrace the grace to step into what God has given us in our heart to do. You're waiting for some magical moment, and God's saying, would you just step out into the grace I've already given you? They embraced the grace to speak to the man at the beautiful gate and say, such as I have, rise up and walk. See, every time I hear that, and I've heard Dutch say it twice in the last, because I saw him in Jacksonville and then in Little Rock, I'm taken back to a walk on Fifth Avenue, New York City, 20-something years ago, and I'm walking down near FAO Swartz, and there's a man sitting on the ground, wrapped in an army blanket, with a little tin can and a sign that says, I'm an army vet, I'm dying of AIDS, and I have no food. And I heard in my spirit, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, rise up in the name of Jesus and walk. And I walked away weeping, going, God, I don't have what it takes to do that. And I said, God, I don't ever want to hear that in my spirit again and not know that I know that I know that on the inside of me is grace. Because I knew I heard. And I can make all kinds of excuses because I was only about 3 or 4 years into the spirit-filled life. But let me tell you something. Peter and John were just days out. And we make excuses. Or at least I do. Means that when's the last time God spoke something like that and we had the guts to go and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. It challenges me on the inside. The same Holy Spirit, grace, gift of God that they had, we have. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. What are we doing? We're talking about mega grace and God pour out mega grace. And I'm just hearing him say over and over again, what are you doing with the grace I've given you? I know I'm sounding hard, but this is what I'm hearing in my spirit. And I'm saying, God, help me. Help me. Acts 4, they're facing persecution because they didn't like that they raised the man at the beautiful gate. How dare you do that? Persecution. They stand before them when they bring them to trial and they embrace the grace and say, you decide whether I should obey you or not. But as for me, I have to obey the Lord. We have to embrace the grace even when it's persecution. Most assuredly when it's persecution. I'm challenged when I see on Facebook the post or on the news about the Coptic Christians being taken out by the waterside and standing in their faith with the swords ready to take off their heads. They embrace the grace. Now, we don't have to have that measure of grace yet. And hopefully if we embrace the measure of grace God's given us now and move, we won't have to. But the reality is we could. There is a, that's exactly right. There's a measure right now. I mean, we have got to embrace this now. Because if we can't embrace it now, when somebody speaks against us or challenges us on Facebook, come on, and says, who do you think you are to say that? I know who I am. I'm a daughter of the Most High God who has a word from God that needs to be released. We got to get out of the fear of man and move into the fear of the Lord, because the key to embracing the grace is to embrace the fear of the Lord and break free of the fear of man. See, we've got to move. We got to shift. And we've got to guard our hearts. Against the ploy of the enemy that would have us to negate the grace of God. Because if you move forward to Acts 5, you've got Ananias and Sapphira, and they negated the grace of God, and it cost them their life. What is at the core of them negating? Pride and presumption. Selfishness and selfish ambition. Arrogance. Deceit, deception, delusion. See, they were grasping for something that was not theirs to have. Because, see, they thought, if I say I'm giving it all because so-and-so gave it all, then if I say I'm giving it all, then I'm going to get the place of favor. Let that speak to you for a minute. Because, see, we don't need to be embracing and releasing to lay hold of what the grace is on somebody else's life. We need to embrace the grace God's given us in our life. Because, see, they were not demanded to bring it all. But they saw somebody else bring it all. So they wanted the attention and the accolades for bringing it all, even though they didn't really bring it all because they really wanted to hold it for themselves. But they wanted the attention, they wanted the position, they wanted the favor, and they thought they could deceive the very Spirit of God. See, we need to get rid of pride and presumption and selfishness and selfish ambition and deceit and embrace what God's given for you. See, I don't want to be Vicki Billman. But I want Vicki Billman to be the fullness of everything God created her to be. I don't want to be Clay Nash. But I'll tell you what, I'll let the grace that is in him pour into me so that the grace in me increases. And I'll tell you, in the 5 years I've been aligned with them, I can't even tell you the shift in my life over 5 years. Simply because I said yes to the grace God was releasing. But I could have negated it by trying to abuse and use the relationship. I won't do it. God gives in this house incredible opportunities to connect with people of renown. I'll say it that way. Embrace what they bring, but determine in your heart that you'll never use or abuse that privilege for personal gain. Because if you'll do that, the deal is God will use it to advance you into your purpose. Because God has so much deposited here. So much. My challenge to us is to embrace the grace that he's given. Cultivate it, nurture it, care for it, tend to it, shepherd it, activate it. See, if you don't activate the grace, if he's given you a grace of intercession and you don't intercede, so you got grace for intercession. What's so? If you've got grace to hear and to prophesy, you may not come up and get a microphone and prophesy. Do you know what I did for years when I was being, the Lord was training me in the prophetic? I had journal after journal after journal after journal after journal, and I would sit and I would write it out. And then I would go back and I would pray it. And I would go back and I would compare it to Scripture to be sure what I was hearing was lining up. I was training my senses. I was training my life to line up with the grace that God was giving. And I had a very wise woman named Alice Smith say in a meeting one time, for most of us, related to what we hear from the Lord, 80% is for your prayer closet and 20% is to be released publicly. That's a key. It's a huge key. Because see, prophecy isn't about coming up and prophesying on a mic. Prophecy is about hearing the voice of God and allowing it to shift your life to line up with his purposes. Activate. If you've got a gift of mercy, a grace gift of mercy, activate that gift by being merciful. See, we need some people that know how to move in genuine mercy in the body of Christ. Activate that gift. Go walk alongside somebody that's struggling. Not with unsanctified mercy. I felt like I needed to say that. Unsanctified mercy is fixing a fix that God didn't intend for you to fix so he could fix a fix. You know, mercy is not going in and intervening when God's fixing something. Keep your hands off. Let God do his deal. But walk with folks. If you got a gift of teaching, a grace gift of teaching, study to show yourself to prove a workman that needs not to be ashamed. If you will cultivate and activate that gift, again, the teacher in me, I would sit and study. My husband would come home from a business trip, and I'd be sitting in the middle of the family room floor while the kids were in bed with my Strong's Concordance. It's before the days of computers. I'm glad we have a computer because my eyes don't work on the old Strong's very well anymore. But Strong's and Vines and three or four different translations and notebooks, and I would be spread out and studying up a storm. Most of those messages and most of those teachings I've never taught anywhere, but they're on the inside. They're on the inside. Cultivate, activate, be prepared so when the demand is put on the grace on the inside of you, you can step in. And then cultivate the confidence that is not in your flesh, but in the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. See, one of the things that I see among most of us as believers is that we have allowed the insecurities, the rejections, the failures of the past to push us back into a corner so we won't step out and do what the Spirit of God's moving us to do. Apostle Clay leaned over to me and he goes, you know, if you get a word or a song, step out. And I was sitting there going, God, you wouldn't do that to me today, would you? Because I'm just being real open, honest, and vulnerable with you. I went through a trauma when I was in college about singing. And I'll turn 58 this April. And the trauma happened 40 years ago. It's taken me nearly the 40 years to move out of not singing and back into God. If you need my voice, you've got it. And I was a voice major in school, on scholarship, the whole deal. But the wounding shut me down. And now God's saying, step. And, you know, it's okay. And I have to get over my fear and over, you know, I've been delivered from it. I've asked Holy Spirit to come heal. But here's the deal. I still have to walk it out. I have to overcome those crazy thoughts that come into my head about what if my voice cracks and what if it doesn't sound good. And what I'm just talking to somebody because you need to hear it in whatever it is you need to step out in because you got defeated one time and it tried to shut you down. And God's saying, don't let that mess shut you down. That's what it was intended for. And I created you for more than that. See, some of y'all need to be stepping up. This man releases people. You need to get off that back row, move to the front, come see Vicky, come see Apostle Clay, come see somebody if you're wondering, is this word really of God? And get out of it and quit waiting on them to do it. It'll make his life so much easier because I know this one's heart. He wants you to soar in the gifting of God that's in you. It is the truth. And some of it's in here and some of it's in the marketplace. But see, if you don't exercise it in here, the likelihood of you doing it out there is pretty small. Because this is family. This is where if you mess up, you've got people to lovingly come alongside, not to rebuke you, but to say, this is how we can move forward and do it better next time. So I'll leave you with this. Embrace the grace. It's abundant. It's marvelous. cultivate the soil of your own heart to receive the engrafted word of God that comes in this house day in, day out, with joy. Cultivate it so that it grows and multiplies, bears fruit that remains, and activate. Step out. Lean over to somebody and pray for them. Begin to write out what you're hearing. Activate. Ask Vicki or Apostle Clay or somebody, I really feel like I've got this grace for kids, or I've got grace for sound, or I've got grace for whatever. Activate it. Get trained. Get equipped. Get activated. And then step out. It's time for the church to rise up and not look back to Acts and go, well, I wish I had lived then. No. No. Let's step out and live Acts now. Let's live it now so that the grace that we have might be multiplied to mega grace and mega power, so that multiplication is released. Signs, wonders, and miracles, and the greatest of all, the harvest of souls. The harvest of souls. That's what it's all for. And as we do that, we will see our communities, our territories, and our nation changed to be a display of His splendor. I want, when Jesus returns, and I'm not saying it soon, but whenever it returns or when I see Him, I want Him to have received the full rewards for His sufferings through my life. It was a cry out of the Welsh revival. Lord, receive the full rewards of your suffering. Let it begin and let it multiply in and through us all. Bless you.